Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, all we who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death, for we are buried together with him by baptism unto death, that as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer. For he that is dead is justified from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live also together with Christ, knowing that Christ, rising again from the dead, dieth now no more, death shall no more have a dominion over him. For in that he died to sin, he died once, but in that he liveth unto God. So do you also reckon that you are dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 8. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time when there was a great multitude with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting to their home, they will faint on the way. For some of them came from afar off. And his disciples answered him, From whence can anyone fill them here with bread in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? Who said, 7. And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground. And taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke and gave it to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the people. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and commanded them to be set before them. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up that which was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Father, dear faithful, today we see the epistle of St. Paul, in which he talks about the sacrament of baptism. Baptism is, of course, one of the 7 sacraments, and it's one sacrament which is an essential for our salvation. It is an interesting sacrament because in it, it gives to us the things that we need to do throughout our entire life. It's a beginning. But in that beginning, it tells us where we need to focus our attention, our activity, our interests throughout our entire life. You know, there are some people who think it's nice to have the children baptized, and then we don't see them until it's time for marriage, and then maybe we see them, at least their remains, in a coffin. Some priests refer to that as the people who come to be hatched, matched, and dispatched. It's, of course, an abuse of what we are meant to do. And as I say, when you look at the sacrament of baptism, you see what God wants us to do. Granted, along the way, we may have difficulties, and so the good Lord has been very generous in helping us by providing us the aids to strengthen our spiritual life, both through the sacraments of Holy Communion, Holy Eucharist, and the sacrament of penance. But there is also, you know, in it, we need to remind ourselves of what we're here for so that we can avoid perhaps falling to the point where we fall terribly into the sins of vice, which take us away from God. In the sacrament of baptism, we are asked at the very beginning when we enter into the church, What are you looking for? What do you want? What do you want? And you say you want eternal life. You want to go to heaven. Our goal is that we want to go to heaven. That's what we seek by coming to church. Church is the gate of heaven. We're here to try to get to heaven. And we want eternal life, which is another way of saying we want to go to heaven. It's interesting what the priest is told to admonish the person when he says he wants to go to heaven. What are you looking for? I'm looking for eternal life. And the answer that's given then is, it says by the priest, it says, if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Okay. Keep the commandments. Okay. And of course, you know, it's an important thing that we are meant to do. We are meant to keep the commandments. And that we are meant to nurture our life here below. We are asked that do we believe in the basic tenets of the Catholic faith? We are asked that will we renounce those things will keep us from the faith? It's an interesting thing also that in the sacrament of baptism, there are certain times when the priest performs exorcisms because the child is not under the dominion of our Lord. He's under the dominion of Satan. And so he tells the evil spirits to get out, to leave, to leave this person rest in peace, to not be such that you torment this soul. Because by the fact that we want to keep the commandments, that we want to enter into life, we want to have the life of God in our soul, we also then we need to rid ourselves of the things that pull us away. And then, of course, we're asked, too, do we ourselves renounce the enemy? Do we renounce Satan and everything he tries to put before us, all the glitter and glory and fame that he tries to give to us, which is so attractive, which people fall so easily to prey to? It's out there. It's out there, and, of course, we see it more and more. Sometimes become they are discouraged because when they are out in the world and they see what the attractions are of the world and how it pulls people away and how we see in public life many people behaving in ways which are certainly not edifying and certainly do not speak of God, well, that's because the enemy is there trying to pull them away. And they have left God. They've abandoned God. It's a natural consequence. We shouldn't be surprised. We're saddened, yes, but we shouldn't be surprised. But we, by our baptism, have made a commitment. In fact, St. John Eudes says that we make a contract with God. There's a whole book that he wrote about the contract that we make with God when we are baptized. He says, we've made a contract. Just like when you make a contract for different things, you sign on the dotted line, the other person signs on the dotted line, and you are meant to keep the contract. And it's an important thing when you keep a contract. If you are given a contract and you're meant to keep a contract, you're meant to keep it. You don't just say, well, I didn't really want to keep the contract, da, da, da. Well, if you do that with a bank, when you're told to keep a contract and you don't keep your terms of contract, you may be out camping in a tent. They call that foreclosure when you don't keep your part of the contract. So in the business world, it's very clear. If you don't keep your terms of the contract, you're out on your ear. St. John Eudes says that you make a contract. You're making a contract with God. Okay? God doesn't default on that contract either. He keeps his end of the bargain. And in fact, the contract is a very interesting contract. He says that when he makes his contract, he wants you to keep the commandments. He wants you to follow the precepts that he's given you, which are ones that are very basic. When you think about it, it's not very demanding at all. It's the simple things that God wants you to do to sanctify your soul, and therefore your benefit. That's what he says on his side, your side. You have to keep the commandments. You have to do the things you're supposed to be doing. You have to, of course, the two commandments which comprise all of them is to love God with all of your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself for the sake of God. Two basic commandments. Sounds very simple, but some people seem to have great difficulty with them. That's what we need to do. That's our side of the contract. On the other side of the contract, on the part of God, he's promising us eternal life. Eternal life with him in heaven. Eternal life with him in heaven, and it's something that is far beyond anything we could ever accomplish by our own natural powers. We're meant to be with him, happy, exceeding any other happiness, more than we could ever hope for, and more than we could ever expect. It says, "I have not seen or ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him." It'll be astounding what we see. The apostles, Peter, James, and John, had a little foretaste of what it was like when they went up Mount Sinai and our Lord was transformed before their eyes. St. Peter was so enamored with the fact that he saw our Lord in his brilliance that he says, "Let's just stay here. We'll make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Let's just stay here forever. Let's make it permanent." And that's just a small taste of what God has prepared for us. So on the one hand, you have God promising this, which is phenomenal. And on the other hand, we're told we have to keep the commandments. It's a pretty good contract. There's no one in their right mind who wouldn't sign off on that kind of a contract. It's a stupendous deal. It's a deal you should never pass up. And so we sign on the dotted line when we're baptized. However, unfortunately, some people don't like to keep the terms of the contract. They get distracted by the cares of the world, by the things that glitter and seem to be rather showy, the Las Vegas things that are all about us, and we are pulled away from them. Pulled away from God because we're pulled by them away from God. It's sad. And we end up failing to keep our end of the contract because of some little thing that we decide we like. And we are willing to throw away everything in order to have that momentary pleasure, that momentary little thing that we thought was so important. We break the contract, in other words. We break the contract, and we say we're going to do what we want to do anyway. Yes, we know that this is what God promises, but we want this here and now. We would rather like what we have here and now versus what God promises for all eternity. And so we break the contract. It's a little bit like the story of Esau and Jacob. When we look at the story of Esau and Jacob, we think how foolish Esau was to sell his birthright. You know, Esau was the oldest. Esau was going to be given the inheritance. And so it was quite substantial. But when Esau went out on the hunt, he comes back and he's hungry. He wants to have his belly satisfied here and now. He wants something to be gratify his senses here and now. And Jacob says, "You can have it if you'll trade your birthright for it." That's what the sinner does. That's what the sinner does. He foregoes eternal life in order to have the here and now. It's foolish. Objectively, it's foolish. We see in this case of Esau how foolish it was. Esau took his inheritance and just threw it away so he could have a bowl of gruel. And so that's what the sinner does. He throws away the possibility of eternal life. He breaks the contract with God so he can have the here and now. Here and now, which is temporary, which is limited in what its satisfaction is, and it's contrary to God's will. It's sad. It's sad. This is what he does. And we're part of the problem when we sin. This is what we do. God is most generous, even when we break the contract. As I told you earlier, when you break a contract with the bank, you might be tenting out, cooking out on open fire wieners and beans in order to make do because you're no longer in your nice, comfortable home. Okay. When you break the contract with God, rightfully so, he could just send you out also. But he has provided a remedy in the meantime to help us to straighten out the difficulties that we have. The sacrament of penance, of course. Sacrament of penance, in order to repair the damage done. But of course, when we're given a remedy to repair the damage done, you have to remember, too, that when we are given that little help, we also have to have the purpose of amendment. The purpose of amendment, which we renew that contract with God and we say that we will do our best to avoid sin, to avoid breaking the commandments, to be faithful in executing the daily activities without offending God. These are the things that we promise to do. And it's important for us to use the sacrament of penance as a remedy and to use it profitably. It's a sacrament of baptism where we renounce Satan. We maybe have stumbled along the way, but then we have to make good and then can work to renew the efforts so that we don't fall again. And so that's important for us to remember, to keep in mind always the end for which we're made, what we're asked to do, the contract that we make with God, the great benefits that we will receive from keeping that contract, and that we must do it all in our power in order to avoid breaking that contract with God. We are, as St. Paul says, dead to sin, but alive in Christ. We need to be alive in Christ throughout our life here on earth. Our life here on earth is but a short period of time in which we are tested. And so we have to remember that that's what this life is all about, and keep in mind always our goal. Keep in mind what we're made for. Keep in mind what we're meant to do, so that when we live our life, that we will keep the contract that we made with God, that we will be faithful to him in all that we do, so that being faithful in this contract with God during this life, we can then benefit from the terms of this contract in the life to come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.